This morning, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Primarily, we'll be focused on verse 14, but we will mention verse 13 as well. As you know, in Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul tells his readers, which by the way include us as well, that we are to be strong in the Lord, and we are to be strong in the strength of his might. We are to put on, Paul says, the full armor of God so that we can stand against the schemes of the devil. Paul reminds us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We think we're fighting people, but ultimately we're really not. But against wicked spiritual forces, against world forces of darkness, against Satan and his demons. We are told to take up the full armor of God so that we can resist the attacks of these wicked beings and to stand firm in the Lord in the evil day. As Paul writes these words, he is most likely chained to a Roman guard. That must have been a lot of fun. To be chained to another human being. What if you have to go to the bathroom? I don't know how they worked that out, but that's the way it was. Roman guard probably didn't like it either. Apparently a lot of people got converted when they were chained to Paul, so that was good. This was Paul's first imprisonment, and he had a golden opportunity to observe very carefully what Roman soldiers wore in terms of their clothing, their armament, and also the weapons that they carried that helped them do the jobs that they were called to do. Using this as his guide, he then proceeds to tell us about the weapons of the Christian life and how they are to be used as we fight against the enemies of our soul. There is no question, at least in my mind, that Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. The Bible says he prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter 5. The Bible says that we are to resist the devil, and he will flee from us, which is an amazing concept, James 4. And as the father of lies, Satan seeks to cause Christians to doubt God's word, just like he was able to get Adam and Eve to do. He wants to make life difficult for Christians and for believers, hoping to tempt believers to walk away from their belief in and their obedience to the Word of God. And he uses tactics such as peer pressure, such as persecution, such as difficult times in order to push Christians or to put Christians in a position where they will be tempted to walk away from the Lord. He will attack believers with the presentation of false teaching and false doctrine. There's always something new under the sun, it seems, coming up in the church that's being talked about, this new thing that people are believing, this new thing that people are doing. Remember, if it is new, it's most likely not true. Has to be looked at, of course, to see how it matches up with Scripture, but usually the new stuff is not necessarily biblical. He causes believers to be tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. The Christians get hit with all this stuff. All their friends are believing it, they're doing it, and so now they feel the pressure. He creates division within the body of Christ. He causes splits in churches and even in families, creating situations where God's work cannot and will not be effectively carried out. He tempts believers to trust their own resources and their own abilities rather than relying on God. And Satan seeks to undermine a church's devotion to Christ, replacing such devotion with cold orthodoxy. He tries to tempt the believer into embracing the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, 1 John 2. He wants us to disobey God's word, to disregard God's standards and to ignore his commandments. Not only do we do battle with Satan and his demonic hosts, we also wrestle with those men who choose to follow them, even though they're not ultimately the major problem. The true born-again Christian, as you probably know this, only represents a very small percentage of the total population of the world. Most men, most women do not care about the true and the living God. They do not care about Jesus Christ. They don't care about the fact that he is the Alpha and the Omega of all reality. They don't care about the Holy Spirit. They don't care about the Bible, the Word of God. Wicked men and women hate believers. They hate Jesus. They hate the Holy Scriptures and are used by the wicked one and his dominions to assault and mistreat true believers as well as undercut the ministry of the God that they represent. We can see here in our own country the hatred that is stirred up against people who attempt to stand for biblical truth, against people who try to protect innocent human life, and for people who speak a word against the corruption, lies, and immorality that grips much of our country. Paul tells us, I've already stated, to take up the full armor of God, all of it, so we can stand firm in the evil day. He gives us certain weapons with which we are to utilize in our struggle against the schemes of the devil. Now last time, which was a number of years ago actually, when I did Ephesians, I did one message and it covered all seven weapons. Today we're just going to do one weapon. So I guess I've got more to say now than I did back then. So the first weapon which we will look at today is called the belt of truth. We are to gird up our loins with truth. This morning we will see three ways in which we can do that. So looking at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, therefore take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day and have done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded up your loins with truth. We'll stop there. Girding up our loins with truth. First way in which we do that is we are fully committed to God's truth. Fully committed to God's truth. And obviously that's talking about the Bible. In verse 14, we are told to stand firm, therefore, having girded up your loins with truth. The picture we are given is that of a Roman soldier, that is prepared for battle, having girded up his loins. That's an odd expression. I'll explain it in a minute. Soldiers wore cloth tunics, apparently, underneath all their stuff. You don't just put the armor on bare skin. You have a tunic that you wore. And warfare back then was largely hand-to-hand unless you were shooting arrows or something like that. So a tunic could be a real hindrance to a soldier trying to fight against enemies in battle. And that tunic had to be tucked up out of the way. You had to get that and you had to kind of stick it in your belt. I won't demonstrate, but you get the picture. So a tunic could be a hindrance unless it was tucked up out of the way. And there had to be something that would hold all that in place. Now you and I speak for men, I know women maybe do things a little differently, but we have belts, right? And of course you get older, you end up with suspenders, but I haven't got to those yet. But you have belts. And if you don't have a belt, you're walking along, well, we all know what's going to happen, right? Down go your pants, and that's obviously not good for anybody. So it's important to have a belt holding up your pants. And so the Roman soldier also needed a belt holding up the tunic. So when they were in battle and they were going back and forth with their swords and their spears and whatever else they were doing, you know, this tunic wouldn't get in their way and they wouldn't keep like tripping over it and slowing them down. So they had this thing all tucked up into their belt. And a belt was needed in order to tie up the loose ends of the tunic and to keep those loose ends out of the way. In the Christian life, something is also needed in order to tie up the loose ends of anything that might hinder the believer in their battle against the world and the flesh and the devil as well as those who may follow them. Our loins, actually you could say our line, our lives, needed to be girded up with a belt of truth, the belt of truth, in order for us to be able to pull in the loose ends of our lives so we can engage in battle with our spiritual enemies. We're not talking about going out there with lightsabers taking on the Dark Lord. This is not Star Wars. But rather, we do battle against spiritual forces that are truly trying to destroy us. Regular people who aren't soldiers had to take their robes off, and this is back then, or tuck them in so they could either move quickly or engage in strenuous physical work. So soldiers weren't the only ones that had to gird up their loins. If you're working out in the field, you know, all that could get in the way, and so you tucked it all into your belt. Moses was told to tell the Israelites to eat the Passover meal with their loins girded up. In other words, they had to be ready to go right now. Well, the Egyptians were going to be probably coming, so they needed to eat the meal and get on the road. And they had to have their sandals on their feet and their staffs in their hands so they could eat it in haste as they left the land of Egypt. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, Peter said, "Therefore, gird up your minds," i.e., or literally, gird up the loins of your minds for action. "Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Girding up one's loins was a sign of being ready, and someone who did so was ready for battle or what other activities they had to be involved in. And the belt that we are talking about here, as I mentioned, is called the belt of truth. Truth is absolutely essential to the Christian life. Truth is the foundation of everything that we believe and everything that we do. Without truth, without God's word, without the Holy Scriptures, we have nothing. We have nothing. Without scripture, without the content of the 66 books of the Bible, we have no spiritual truth. We have no spiritual reality. Well, where do you learn about Jesus? Well, maybe somebody told you, but where'd they learn it? It's in the Bible. Where did you learn about heaven and hell? It's in the Bible. Where did you learn about how you're supposed to live as a believer? It's in the Bible. Where did you learn about creation? It's in the Bible. And the list just goes on and on. It's all in the Bible. That's the truth of God's word. If we don't have that, we have no faith. We have nothing. And so we need that belt of truth to gird up our lives so we can do battle with the enemy, the unseen enemy of our souls. We run the risk of being carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, without this belt of truth. In 1 Timothy 4, 1, we are told that the Spirit explicitly says, in latter days, some will fall away from the faith and pay attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. If you pay any attention to what's going on out there and the things that are on the internet taught by some people, you would just be well aware of the kinds of things that are being brought up today. We look at what is going on in our own day and age, and we see all kinds of things happening. We see pressures and movements towards a one-world ecumenical church. Basically, you just believe whatever you want, and we're all fine. We're all one big happy family. We see people telling us that we need to move back to the mother church. We need to go back to Roman Catholicism because that's where the action is. We also see the rise of Islam. We see the ongoing deceptions of the cults. And we also see so-called Christian teachers telling us we can disregard and ignore the Old Testament. Don't worry about that anymore. We see other churches embracing the LGBTQ+ movement, others accepting critical race theory and social justice teachings, and the list just goes on and on and on. The Christian faith, or biblical Christianity, is under attack, as are those who believe what the Bible teaches. If you believe in the Bible, you are not a friend to most people. That's just the way it is. And it will become more hostile as time goes on because people are becoming more wicked and resistive to the truth of God's word. As Christians, we must be committed to the teaching of the Bible. Sola Scriptura is our cry. So we gird up our loins, and we do so by being committed to God's word. Puritan writer and pastor William Gurnall wrote something called The Christian and Complete Armor. That's quite a book. I was amazed. I ordered it and got it yesterday, and it was just amazing the stuff that's in there. You have to work hard to go through it, though. He states that there are two truths that must be stressed when it comes to discussing the girdle of truth. First truth, truth of doctrine for the mind. In other words, there are certain facts. There is a certain content. There are certain things in the Bible that are written that are true, that are doctrines that have to be believed. Secondly, the truth of the heart or sincerity for the will is to unite both these faculties. They do when they are clasped and girt about the soul as the girdle about the loins of the body. John MacArthur says, I believe that being girded with truth has to do with the self-discipline and total commitment. It represents not only the accuracy of specific truths, but also the quality of truthfulness. In other words, you have to be sincerely committed from the heart to what's in the Bible to have your lives girded about with a belt of truth. And so the first way in which we gird our loins with truth is to be committed to the truth itself with mind and heart, both with a knowledge of the scriptures and a total heartfelt commitment to them. Number two, the second way in which we gird up our loins is by being constantly prepared for battle, In the Christian life, we may face more than one battle. Have you noticed that? You just get one thing taken care of, now you got another problem. You know, you just deal with one sin, one temptation, get that under control, repented of, dealt with, now you're not doing that anymore, and something else comes along. It just never ends. It's not like we're gearing up for one big battle, we fight it, it's over, and we get to relax and go home. It's not that way. Rather, the whole Christian life is one big ongoing battle that never stops until the day we die or the Lord returns. Read Romans chapter 7, verses 14 to 25. The schemes of the devil are ongoing. They never stop. It's like the people that are trying to get rid of Trump. They never quit. They just keep coming, and they keep coming, and they keep coming, and they keep coming. Evil never gives up. So neither does Satan. Constantly, he is at work doing what he can to disrupt ministries, cripple the lives of individual Christians, tempt Christians to do things that they should not do, and do whatever he can with the help of his minions to advance the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness is relentless, and it has to be constantly engaged. Apostasy, watering down of the truth, even among people or churches which claim to be Christians, are always before us. C.H. Spurgeon says this, the Church of Christ is continually represented under the figure of an army, yet its captain is the Prince of Peace. Its object is the establishment of peace, and its soldiers are men of a peaceful disposition. The spirit of war is the extremely opposite point to the spirit of the gospel. Yet, nevertheless, the church on earth has, and until the second advent, must be the church militant, the church armed, the church warring, the church conquering. And how is this so? It is in the very order of things that it must be so. Truth could not be truth in the world if it were not a warring thing, and we should at once suspect that if it were not true, if error were friends with it. The spotless purity of truth must also be at war with the blackness of heresy and lies. Now, one day it'll all be over, and truth will win. The good guys are going to win. The book has already been written. We're just watching the movie. That's what OJ keeps telling me. We know how it's all going to come out, but it's going to be okay. But now, until that happens, we're in the middle of a battle. We're in the middle of a war. Read the chapter in Holiness, if you've got this book, on the fight. There's a whole chapter in there. The Christians are to fight. Not other people necessarily, but certainly our battle is with the spiritual forces of darkness in high places. We have a song, and we all like it, and we sing it. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. We're not talking about the Crusades, okay? We're talking about dealing with forces of darkness and wickedness in heavenly places. We all know the song, we've all heard it, but we must recognize that warfare never stops, not in this life. So we have to be constantly prepared for battle. MacArthur says, being girded with truth is being renewed in the mind in order to prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect, Romans 12:2. When the mind is renewed in commitment to God's truth, there is empowerment for the Christian soldier to becoming a living and holy sacrifice that pleases God and is that believer's spiritual service of worship. In many ways, it is more difficult and more demanding to be a living sacrifice than a dying one. To be burned at the stake for one's faith would be painful, but it would soon be over. To live a lifetime of faithful obedience can also be painful at times, and its demands go on and on. It requires staying power that only continual and total commitment to the Lord can provide. It demands that love abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that we may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. For Philippians 1:9-11. Love, knowledge, and understanding of God all need to grow, and when these things grow, so does our commitment to the Lord for excellence in all things, the ultimate goal of which is the glory and praise of God. That's the whole goal of our Christian life, is to bring glory and honor and praise to our God. But we have to be ready that we are being part of this battle, and that it will not go away until the Lord comes back. We have to be constantly prepared for battle. And finally, the third way in which we gird up our loins with truth is to be willing to ignore distractions. Distractions. Things that keep us from doing the things that we really should do. Verse 14 says, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. Along with that is we have to focus on the fact that we are in a battle. The verse tells us that we are to make a stand for the truth of God's word. This is an ongoing activity, something that we do throughout our Christian lives. It is important that we recognize that this is a priority in our Christian lives. It is an absolute priority. Nothing is to get in the way of doing that. We have to make the most important thing the most important thing. 2 Timothy 2:4. Paul says, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. We're soldiers of Christ, and we need to focus on pleasing our master, our leader. I'm going to have you turn to a couple of verses. Hebrews 12 is one of them. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. So if you'll turn there for just a moment. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 2, starting in verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So as we look at that, we have to lay aside every encumbrance, every sin, which so easily entangles us. That's reality, isn't it? It's easy to get caught up in things we're not supposed to be caught up in. That world out there, the world, the flesh, and the devil is working overtime to keep us distracted. So we have to not do that. And we have to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. He endured the cross. He despised the shame, sat down at the right hand of the Father, and now he's waiting for us. Hebrews 12. Turn with me also to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 24 to 27. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, starting there. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. So we look at that and we recognize that the athlete is preparing to win a crown that is perishable, but we as Christians are trying to win a crown that is imperishable. The athlete runs for one that is perishable. So we have to exercise control, self-control. It doesn't mean we can't have a good time. We can't have fun ever. No, we got fun, but that's not the bottom line. I mean, I've talked to people that come to church and they say, well, I just didn't have fun here today. I mean, you're not really supposed to have fun at church. I mean, it's not supposed to be an ordeal. You know, it's just agony. But on the other hand, it's not about fun and games. You're going to run into people that you like. You'll get into conversations. You might even get some food if you're lucky. But, you know, it's not necessarily about fun. It's about hearing and understanding and learning to apply the Word of God. It's all about the Bible. That's what it's all about. So we have to be willing to ignore anything that distracts us from that. As you know, we live in the world that has many distractions. Amen? Many things compete for our attention. People want power, so they figure out all the things they got to do to have power over other people. There's material possessions. Whoever dies with the most toys wins. And then you got another one, bumper sticker that says, whoever dies with the most toys wins nothing, which is probably more accurate. We have all our lusts and our trivial pursuits and our hobbies and our sporting events and hunting and fishing and computers and phones and the use of mood-altering substances, gambling, video games. We could put together a long list if we wanted to about things that are distractions to us. The TV. Sometimes you just come in and you turn on the TV and then you're gone for the next 6 hours as you binge-watch something. You know, we've probably all done that. We have to be sure that nothing distracts us from being the faithful Christian soldiers each of us has been called to be. We have not been called to sit, soak, and sour. I've said that before. We all like a kick out of that. But nor have we been called to just get bogged down in things that will have no lasting value. Any encumbrance, any distraction must be tucked into the belt of truthfulness, so that it will be out of the way. Nothing can prevent us from engaging in the spiritual battle that we are involved in. We must learn to ignore distractions, realizing that we have all been called into ministry on some level. It doesn't mean we all go to seminary or we don't go to Bible school. We don't all go to Bible school and we don't all, necessarily hand out tracts in up and down the banks of the river here, like some people do. We all have a different ministry, but we are all in ministry because we all represent Christ, and we're in some way involved in the Great Commission, which is to preach the gospel to every living creature. We've all been called. No matter what our actual occupations are or what we're doing in life, we must stand firm as we resist the schemes of the evil one. And so this morning, I want to close with a hymn by someone named John Monsell. I'm not going to sing it. It's okay. I'm just going to read the words. It says, fight the good fight with all thy might. Christ is thy strength and Christ thy right. Lay hold of life and it shall be thy crown and joy eternally. Run a straight race through God's good grace. Lift up thine eyes and seek his face. Life is with its way before thee lies. Christ is the path and Christ the prize. Cast care aside, lean on thy guide. His boundless mercy will provide. Trust and thy trusting soul shall prove. Christ is its life and Christ its love. So we're called to gird up our loins as we put on the full armor of God. We're called to put on the belt of truth. So how do we do that? Three ways. Be committed to the truth, number one. Number two, be constantly prepared for battle. And number three, be willing to ignore any distractions that come our way. Shall we pray?